The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
So what I'd like to do is give you, although we've had four or five sermons this morning, I want my fair share. So I want to just speak to you a little bit about the sermon series that we've been in. And Jim, if you can get my PowerPoint up for me. We've been talking about fasting, praying, and giving can change your plans. Can change your plans. And the scripture we've used is out of Joel chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rent your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. The three sermons we went through first was how God changes our pathway. Then we spoke about Daniel and why Daniel, because it's a Daniel fast, why he prospered in the midst of his own personal persecution. Last week we spoke about how we can finish strong. And today what I want to talk about is the pathway of celebration and how it, pathway to celebration, how it changes our plans. So let's look at Nehemiah. I love Nehemiah. It's one of my go-to books. It's just filled with encouragement as Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of, and I spoke to you about this last week. So verse 12, 27, at the dedication of the walls of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought from out where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving and with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyres. So there's celebration is to be exactly that. It's not a time of mourning. It's a time of rejoicing. And we've done something really amazing. There are about 75, actually over 75 occasions in the scriptures where it talks about celebrations. It took place when people were delivered. If you're delivered from demonic forces, delivered from financial bondage, delivered from sickness, all those things, there's a time of celebration. So many times, if God does something in your life, don't just stop there, then have a time of celebration. If it's just individually or just with your close inner circle. So celebrate. There were celebrations when the enemy was defeated. If the devil's been put on a backtrack, been driven out of your life, if you've got a victory in whatever area of your life that you needed, in a family relationship, whatever it is, take a time to celebrate. When the work of the Lord was completed, when you've done what it is that the Lord asked you to do, celebrate that you've got that done and maybe you're moving on to another chapter and another thing in your life. Celebration took place when sacrifices were made. After the sacrifices, the temple, and so many things. Probably one of the greatest examples of that is when David was bringing the ark into back to Jerusalem, and he had this great procession, and they'd move so many feet, and they'd have a sacrifice, and they'd celebrate. And he got criticized for it, you know, but he did it. He did it unto the Lord. So, and then finally, when fasts were ended, and that's our reason to celebrate today, because our fast is ended. Celebration turns our focus away from us and towards God. If we don't learn anything else about Christianity, we need to learn this. Look to Him. And stop looking at yourself, because in yourself you see flaws. There was a beautiful model, and I can't remember her name right at the moment. I mean, she was just strikingly beautiful. She was on a TV show, and the commentator was interviewing her and said, he said, he just paused for a moment and said, you're such a strikingly beautiful woman. Just to see you this close and your features are so beautiful. And she says, you don't see. He said, do you see this? And she pointed to her face. And he said, what? He said, don't you see that flaw on my face? And he says, no, I don't see any. She said, I see it. It's there. We look at the flaws of our life instead of focusing on the glory of God, the majesty of God, who God is. That's why I tell people all the time, if you're depressed and you're feeling down, go read the Psalms. They will lift you up. When David and the other writers of the Psalms talk about the glory of God, the majesty of God, lift up your eyes unto the hills from where your help comes from. So look into God. Celebration does that. When you're depressed, it's hard to be depressed when you're dancing. It is, and we're going to dance a little bit. Now, some of you Baptists, ex-Baptists, are going to worry about that, but we're going to do some dancing in here. Say, well, I have never danced in church. Well, you're going to do it today, honey. All right, we're going to get you doing it. So you can't be depressed when you're dancing. It's hard to feel down when your hands are raised to the Lord. I mean, it's impossible. Now, you know, we've kind of gotten used to raising our hands in the church. Most of us, maybe not all of you. I don't know enough about all of you to know that. But I remember when the charismatic movement first began back in the 70s, and, you know, people were raising their hands unto the Lord. It was so new. And, you know, it was such a big deal. You know, you'd raise a finger, you know, and hope nobody saw you until we finally got free enough to raise our hands unto the Lord. So it's hard to focus on your problems when you're dancing and raising your hands and using your voice to celebrate God. Celebrations, they had music, they had food, they had sacrificial offerings. So let's take a look just briefly at the first thing I want to talk to you about is the pathway of celebration is an acceptable sacrifice. The pathway of celebration is an acceptable sacrifice. Nehemiah again, chapter 12, verse 43. And on that day they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. Not just joy, but great joy. All right? The women and the children also rejoiced. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. Boy, I just love that passage of scriptures. Celebration is having a party, and it's a loud, boisterous party that disturbs the whole neighborhood. You know, it wouldn't disturb me if we made so much noise that, you know, the neighbors came in and said, would you guys quiet it down? That's exactly what was taking place in this passage of Scripture. Jesus was the final sacrifice, so we can't offer a sacrifice like they did. They offered the physical sacrifice, but we don't do that. Jesus did the last sacrifices. We don't sacrifice anything. I was talking to a good friend of mine this week, and he was talking about a malady that he had. And he said, I just offered up as a sacrifice to the Lord. And I didn't want to get a theological argument with him. I thought, that's just so wrong. I mean, we've been taught that in many of our churches through the years that, you know, if you're suffering and you give it as a sacrifice, that God gets some kind of glory out of that. I don't believe God gets glory out of your out of your sicknesses and your maladies. He gets glory out of your healing. You know, when the disciples one day came across someone, and they said, who sinned? Did he sin or was his family? And he said, no, this is for the glory of God. The guy got healed. Now, there's a place for a celebration to take place. So we can't offer sacrifices as they did in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, our sacrifices are sacrifices of praise, sacrifice of ourself. But we don't do it to curry favor. We do it to put down ourselves so that God can receive glory through what we're doing, something positive. It's not just, well, I'm so glad that I broke my leg and I can give glory to God, you know, in a sacrifice of praise because I broke my leg. Humbug, just get healed, you know, go to the doctor if you have to. But don't just worship him with thanks that he's healing you. That was great, Donald. You know, that when he does something, thank him in advance before it takes place. Just like giving, you want to prosper, you give first. It's doing those thanks and giving and all those things towards God before we actually see him. Faith is not rejoicing after something happens. Faith is rejoicing before it happens. Amen. Got that? Amen. Faith is rejoicing before things happen. So the sacrificial offering that we can give is to rejoice because God gives us great joy. You want to be strong in the Lord? It says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you ever let yourself get silly before God, you ever just done it, just put away your inhibitions and just act goofy in front of God, then, oh, well, Pastor, we're not supposed to do that. Well, you know, you get happy enough. I promise you this. If the home clearinghouse people showed up with the balloons and a giant check that you're going to get $5,000 a week for the rest of your life, honey, you will be leaping and jumping and praising God.
Amen.
I would. You wouldn't say, oh, gee, thanks for that. I appreciate that. You go, no! Wow! You know what? $5,000, and heaven forbid if you won the $350 million lottery, I mean, you'd be rejoicing. Well, rejoice in the Lord. The joy of the Lord, believing that God has done something in your life. If God hasn't done something in your life, you need to find out what's wrong. You need to get saved. You need to be born again. That is enough to keep you joyful. I got saved in 1972, and I haven't gotten over it yet. You know how many times I go back to that and remember that? I'm not dwelling on that and not growing, but I rejoice in it. I mean, I'm so glad that my sins are forgiven. I'm so glad I'm not the person that I was. And I'm so glad that he's not finished with me. And I don't know what I'm going to be tomorrow. I don't know, but I'm looking forward to it. If there is a tomorrow, and if there's not, oh, happy days. I'll meet you in the heavenly realm, all right? So, because of great joy, that is our sacrifice to give our joy to him, because then we receive the strength that we need to go on in life. I have another point to the sermon. I have a two-point sermon. Okay, this is going to be brief, kind of, maybe, sort of, because we have other things to do. But I want to talk about the pathway of celebration is a sacrifice of praise. Esther, did you know that my grandmother from Italy, her name was Esther? But she said it in Italian. How many of you know how to say Esther in Italian? Donna, can you do it? No? Bobby, can you do it? Some of you Italians? It's Pasquita. Pasquita. Her name was Pasquita Lamantia, all right? She's a rare, she was from the old country, all right? So Esther always reminds me of my grandmother when I read it. So chapter 9, verses 20 and 23. Mordecai recorded these events, and he sent letters to all the Jews. You all know the story of Mordecai and Esther, where the king was set up for Mordecai to get killed and hung on the gallows. And Esther went in and, you know, saved the day. Mordecai told him, how do you know you weren't born for such a day as this? So this is all kind of culminating here. So Mordecai recorded these events, and he sent letters to all the Jews to have them celebrate annually. And that's what we just did. We've been doing this for the last 6 years. Celebrate annually is the time when the Jews got relief from their enemies, and is a month when their sorrow was turned into joy and their mourning into a day of celebration. Would you like to live that way? Where your sorrows are turned to joy and your mourning turned to celebration? You can do it, but you can do it in the Lord. It's the only way of doing it. He wrote them to observe these days as days of feasting and joy, and giving presents of food to one another and gifts to the poor. So a sacrifice of praise recognizes that the time of sorrow is past. It's time to get over some things. Some things just wear you down year after year after year. You can never get over it. It's time to get over it, and you get over it by celebrating in the Lord. Just put all that on the back burner and just begin to worship and celebrate in the presence of God. And it'll deliver you out of that. Jesus delivers you as he delivered the people of Mordecai's day. The enemy thought they would destroy the Jews. The enemy has a desire to destroy you. That's what he'd like to do, but he can't do it because he's held at bay by the power of God and the fact that he's a defeated foe. That all took place back at Calvary's tree, all right? Mordecai, if you haven't read Esther, go read this. it'll give you a belly laugh. It is so funny because Naaman, who wanted to have Mordecai hung on the gallows, and the king, he went to the king, and the king asked him, what should I do for a guy who really honored the king, which Mordecai had done? What should I do for him? And the guy said, well, man, I think we ought to get the king's horse, put the king's robe on him, and make a servant lead him through the town shouting how great he is. And the king said, what a great idea. Go get the horse, put Mordecai on it. I want you to lead him through town. And, you know, that had to be the funniest day of they ever had in that city when he had to do that. And then ultimately, he ended up being hung on the gallows that he prepared for Mordecai when the truth about what his devious ways were and what he was doing. So God will cause your enemies to be destroyed in your very presence. The thing that you thought was going to destroy you will destroy them. Okay? So rejoice in what God has already done. God has seen your fasting. He's heard your prayers. And he's seen your giving. And God is a rewarder of those who do these things. He will bless you abundantly. The scripture was quoted this morning about giving unto the Lord, and he'll give back to you good measure, shaken together, pressed down, overflowing, will God give back to you. We don't give to get, but it's like trying to take a shower and not get wet. You can't do it. I mean, you're going to get wet if you get in the shower. And if you give, and you give unto the Lord, you're going to be blessed for it financially. I'm convinced of that. And if you can prove otherwise, just let me know. More importantly, God has seen what Jesus has done. And this is what Jesus has done. His works are your works. You know all the things you try to do for the Lord? Jesus already did it all. There's nothing you could do. There's nothing that you can do to make God love you any more or make God love you any less. That was taken care of by Jesus. And in him, we live and we move and we have our being. So it's in him, and we're always pleasing to God because in Christ, he's always pleased with his Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And when you're in Christ and Christ is in you, God is always pleased with you. You know, you think you'll do something, well, God's mad at me now, and he's angry, I'm such a disappointment. And you go to God and say, oh, I'm so sorry, I messed up. And he said, I don't remember that. I don't remember that. It's in a sea of forgetfulness. All of your sins are taken care of. Does that give you the right to go out and sin as you see fit? Oh, you can. God will still love you, and you'll still be blessed. But if you rob the first bank of Slidell and you get caught, you're going to jail. And if the cops show up with guns, you may be dead if you brought a gun in there with you. So there's a consequences of it, but not eternally as far as God is concerned. His sacrifice is your sacrifice. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So the sacrifice, if you want to give a sacrifice, just get saved. That is the sacrifice. Because you're in Christ. That is your great sacrifice. His praise is your praise. Father is pleased with what Jesus did, and he's pleased with you in Jesus. Everything is in Christ. I don't know how many times in the scriptures it says that. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. So in Christ, all these blessings are yours. All the blessings of Abraham are yours in Christ, and none of the curses. Sometimes people say, well, I'm cursed. Well, no, you're not. In Christ, you can't be cursed. You are blessed in Christ. You are not cursed. Father, let us never take lightly the story of Jesus. Let us never forget what he did so that our sins could be forgotten. We thank you that no one took your life from you, Lord Jesus, but that you gave it freely when you went to Calvary's tree. Thank you that the devil couldn't kill you. As that man said in that video, and the grave couldn't hold you. And we rejoice in that. For you, when you died, We died with you, as we said earlier. We were crucified with you. But because you live, because the grave couldn't hold you, and you came up triumphant out of the grave, we rose with you. For you are the great resurrection. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us forgiveness, for being sacrificed in our place, and for giving us this great, amazing life in the kingdom. Born again, not of the corruptible seed of Adam, but of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. We thank you, Father, and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus for all that you've done for us, even in this place, this day. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I think we've done everything that we can that's legal and moral, and so we don't want to do anything illegal and immoral. So with that said and done, thank you for being here today. If you need special prayer, I'll be up here. I'll be glad to pray for you.